Blog Talk Radio.
Well, 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 it's that time again. It's time for another season of Dollar Bin Horror Radio. And since we've been gone for the past 6 months, I've had, you know, some time to reflect, catch up on some movies there in my queue. And I want to tell you all something right now, Replay Nation. I was wrong. Yep, I was wrong about the state of horror because, you know what? It is extremely, extremely healthy. If you can skip whatever is playing at your local Normalplex, you can find some absolutely good, wonderful horror movies. For example, Rigor Mortis. The Town Dread Sundown, but the remake of The Town Dread Sundown. Just paying on that one. Housebound. So many good horror movies out there that have been released on the independently of studios. And yes, over the past 5 years, I may have bitched, moaned, and complained, but no more. It'll be interesting to see, but with the success of It Follows, where the path of horror goes this time around. Horror does have a chance to be great once again, but it just has to learn from the mistake of the past. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Are you ready? Are you ready to roll? Hey, now, what is up? A tremendous Thursday evening to you, and welcome to the Season 5 premiere of Dollar Bin Horror Radio. My name is Eric Polk, and we are back and better than ever. I am pumped, and I'm ready to do this. We are returning after a six-month hiatus, and I'm here to tell you right now, we're going to start things off with a bang, because it's all about horror conventions and the big business behind them. Have you been to a horror convention? Why don't you give us a call tonight and tell us some of your interesting stories, both good and bad. The number to call is toll-free here in the United States. It's 1-877-552-4073. And for our international listeners, it is area code 323-843-6113. And like I said before, I am pumped. I am ready to go to start season number 5. It has been an extremely long, it's been an extremely brutal winter, but we've made it through, and sit back and relax, because for the next hour, it's all about the culture of horror. But as you know, if you've been listening to the show for these past 5 years, I cannot handle the burden of a weekly one-hour internet-based radio show all by myself. On the other end of the tin can string, funded by an evil corporation. Yes, I found it! After a couple misfires. Oh, yes, I understand completely. The one who just said you can't understand is the Lord and Mistress of dollarbenhorror.blogspot.com, and she is probably the hugest supernatural fan this side of Kansas. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome back to the show, Miss Ronnie Reaper?
No, you really don't understand. Something happened last night on Supernatural that fucked me up so bad. I'm going to cry.
Was it that bad?
Someone died. Someone very, very important died. I'm not going to... Well, okay, everyone, if you're a Supernatural fan and you haven't watched the show in a while, I want everyone to close your fucking ears for 5 seconds, okay?
Okay, give me about 10-second clip here. Hold on a sec. Okay, spill it.
Okay. Charlie is dead.
Oh.
They killed my girl, Charlie.
Oh, wow.
You don't even understand.
You think... Oh, I mean, I've never watched the show, but, I mean, I guess I could understand, you know, was
it's
she that important of a character?
It's almost as bad as when they killed fucking Bobby. almost, because,
mm-hmm.
well, I mean, Bobby was fucking Bobby. Like, oh, my God. Okay, I'm good. There's only two more episodes left in the season. Everyone can start listening again. There's only two more episodes left this season, and I might die before the end of it. Oh, that's all I'm saying.
It seems like our shows like to really kill people off. The Walking Dead, for instance,
I don't have cable, so I don't get to watch The Walking Dead. And the girl at my job who usually keeps me up to date stopped working there, like, last
Uh-oh.
Season. So she just came for a visit and just let me know everything that happened.
Mm-hmm.
I really
yeah.
need to Wikipedia or, like, Google or whatever these episodes so I could fucking catch up. I didn't know all these people were dead already. I'm like, hold
mm-hmm.
on.
Yeah. Yeah, they did a lot. They did a few nice little murders this season. But
see, on The Walking Dead, though, when someone dies, they fucking stay dead.
Yeah.
Supernatural, I mean, there's a 50-50 shot.
Yeah, because I don't like some people come back from the dead on that show.
People? Are you kidding me? It's like...
Oh.
It's like, you know, everyone who says YOLO, you haven't watched Supernatural, ever.
I've never in my life watched an episode. The only reason why I knew about Supernatural is because it used to follow one of my favorite TV shows, Smallville, when it was still on the air, so that's the only way I really knew about it. But anyway, if you guys want to get in on this conversation tonight, if you like The Walking Dead or Supernatural, we'd love to have you on. It's 1-877-552-4073, international callers, 323-843-6113. So, Rhonda, how was your bitterly cold winter up there in the merry old land of Cleveland?
Fucking cold, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. For
like,
any of our
dude,
new listeners...
Dude, it was like, I think there was snow, like, what, a week or two ago?
Oh, yeah? Wow. For you new listeners out there, anybody who just has discovered this show for the first time, we both live in the merry state of Ohio. She lives about 2 miles north of where I live. And
2 hours.
Yeah, about 2 hours. Say. It depends. But this winter was a bitch. And I mean that, not as a euphemism, but it was an actual fucking bitch. Freezing collective private parts off. Every time you turn around, it was all in the minuses. Somewhere, you know, and I feel bad for Rhonda because where she lives near the lakes, so.
Lake effect
yeah.
bullshit. Fuck you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You know, but,
But again,
I used to
live in the mountains in Pennsylvania, so I just get screwed in every which way.
Yeah, it's, yeah, nothing here has changed much. Because I live, like, right outside of Pennsylvania, so it hasn't changed all that much. But anyway, movie-wise, I got caught up, like I said in the monologue tonight, I got caught up on a lot of movies. I'm going to talk about It Follows here later on in the show, because that seems to be the biggest phenomenon that has crossed the horror movie fans' path within the last couple of years or so. So I'm definitely going to be talking about that. But I watched a pair of nasty movies over the winter. I watched a Chinese horror film called Rigor Mortis, which is strangely beautiful and just extremely dark, but I would definitely want to check that out. And another remake I actually discovered was really good, The Town of Dread Sundown. That really surprised me. If you haven't seen the original, it's okay, but the thing with the remake of The Town of Dread Sundown is they went meta on this one. They were set in a small town that every year would show the original movie, but now there's like some murders going on behind the scenes, and it was a really smart move on their part to do that. And then I saw The Babadook, which is another movie that is, oh my God, that is just, everybody's going crazy about it, and you know, oh, we lost Rhonda. Wonderful. It's live radio, ladies and gentlemen. Don't panic or anything. This happens almost all the time. But anyway, Babadook, that was a movie that lived up to its glorious hype. I know you may find the child annoying, but he's annoying for a reason. Let's put it that way. If you've not seen the movie yet, if you have Netflix, check that out. Oh, Rhonda, were you that bored by Babadook?
No. My house phone has been on charge all friggin' day. And it just fucking died.
Oh,
I am
lovely.
On a track phone, people.
Yikes.
Fuck this shit. I just bought minutes.
But, yeah, well, I was telling our listeners that this happens all the time. So, I mean, it's live radio.
Yes,
what
everything in my... Every fucking piece of fucking electronical shit in my house sucks.
Well, don't forget, too, this show is also funded by an evil corporation. You know, they really don't like doing upgrades to us, so we're stuck
yeah.
with what we've got. as I mentioned, the Babadook, that was a very intense horror film, very scary. If you've not seen this movie, yeah, there's a kid in it, and there's a buzz about the kid being annoying as hell. But if you sit down and watch the movie and think about it, he's annoying for a reason. I mean, if I was the kid's age and I had a scary character out of a child's book come and haunt me, I would be freaking out. You know, but you know,
I liked the Babadook. I got to see that one as well over our little break and. I loved it. It wasn't mm-hmm. bloody. It wasn't gory. It was just fucking creepy. It was a good movie.
It was. I kind of see it as a metaphor for modern day parenting, because almost every parent I talk to that that has kids around that boy's age, you got to know they're thinking the thought that she's actually saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of those angry thoughts and. You know, deep down, maybe somewhere in the recesses of their mind, saying, "You ruined my life." You know, my life's not been the same. You know, when they're mad at their children. Not saying all parents, but I think a few of them maybe might stay a little too close to home. But who knows? Did you see a movie called Starry Eyes by any chance?
No.
Nah, I did, and this is one that kind of fell flat on its face. I'll tell you why. The actress who is the main character in this, she did a fantastic job. But I mean, but the people around her, though. The villains, they were like comic book cliched, essentially. You know, you had the evil movie producer, you know, and his snickering laugh, and it's just a bunch of pulpy nonsense, if you ask me. So, but. If you watch it for the actress performing. She does a hell of a job, but that's pretty much the only thing that holds that movie together.
Now,
so
see, there's a movie
there,
that I watched that I know you watched, but I think
uh-huh.
I liked it a lot more. I heard about it at Wasteland, actually, and I got to meet the director and two of the people who acted in it. Pieces of Talent?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that
okay,
one.
Okay, we both saw the film. I'm pretty sure I liked it a hell of a lot more than you did.
Yeah, you did.
If you ask me, I say it's an indie film that you have to watch. It is so fucking good. I thought the acting was great. The story was great. It was just fucking creepy. And we saw we did see a little bit too much along. That's all I'm saying. Tidy whitey that weren't really whitey. It was just like, what?
You know, and the problem...
I love that fucking movie.
Yeah, my wife won a copy of that soon when we were at the Cinema Wasteland in April, which we'll get to here in a bit.
Oh, she won
my
a copy?
Yeah, she won a copy of it.
I was really drunk and don't remember that. I bought a copy.
Yeah, so was she.
I remember
so was
that because I was slightly sober then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so was she. I mean, but it's a it's a horror convention. I mean, unless you're the designated driver like me, that's kind of the riot
of
passage.
I think we all had fun.
What's that?
I said, I remember your wife at parts of it.
Yeah, she's like, hey,
awesome.
I entered this contest for a DVD, and the trailer was awesome. So we got the DVD, and we watched it. And my biggest source of contention with this film is the way the guy plays the bad guy. You know, he's not creepy at all. He just has like this big grin on his face, and
the
you know, there's
that
nothing
wasn't creepy.
Well, it was to me. It was kind of cartoonish to me.
That's why I'm trying to
but,
creepy.
Huh?
The motherfucker just keeps smiling at me. No, that's creepy.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's because you're a dude, but to a woman, that's fucking creepy.
That may be. I just.
But I also think your wife liked it more than you did too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. She liked it a little bit more than I did, but not. Not as much as you did. No,
I think people should give it a chance, and when you watch it, you should tell us what you think, because I want to hear what other people think. I loved it, and they're making a sequel, so I'm like, yes.
Yeah, and plus, there are like bits and parts of the movie that just kind of seem to drag on. You know, was this this guy's first film?
I have no idea. I didn't really look into the background. I just popped the movie in after I got home from Wasteland and watched it, and I just loved it. And it was like two indie films there, but I actually gave one to my best friend. I told her to watch it, and when she was done, I'd get it back. But she lives in Berea, so I'll probably get it back next Wasteland. To be completely honest.
All right, 1-877-552-4073 if you guys want to get in on the conversation tonight. We're going to be talking about the big business of horror conventions. I'm going to be talking about the movie It Follows. If you guys have any takes on any movies you may have seen over the winter, let us know what you think of it. Do you agree with my assessment of Babadook and Starry Eyes? For those who may have seen the movie Ron, Pieces of Talent, have you seen that? What did you think of it? We'd love to hear from you. So, Rhonda, I got some news for you. It seems we're not the only podcast on the internet.
Oh, okay.
We're not the only ones that's broadcasting anymore. Apparently, there's a. There's a new podcast in the air, and I'm talking about Archivist Bet on Sexy Witches, and that is hosted by the wonderful head huntress, Mrs. Elizabeth Catherine Gray. She just started her show about a month ago. She's two episodes in, and let me tell you what, it is fantastic. It is basically everything you wanted in everything. For the geek, but it's told from a female perspective. You have the head huntress. You have author Queenie Todd, who's called here on the show a couple of times, and you have award-winning film director Jenny Sherman Richards on as well. And the first week they were talking about Game of Thrones, and last episode here a couple weeks ago they were talking about Disney villains, and their next show this coming Tuesday is going to be about the Marvel characters with. The release of the new Avengers movie, it couldn't be any more timely. So what you need to do is go here to blogtalkradio.com and type in Archivist Bet on Sexy Witches. She is broadcasting live every other Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern time. That's not every Tuesday, but every other Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern time, and you will not regret it. The future of podcasting for geeks is on this show, Archivist Bet on Sexy Witches, or go to facebook.com and like the Archivist Bell Sexy Witches page. You will not regret it. All right, 1-877-552-4073 is the number to call if you guys want to get in on the conversation tonight. Oh, and before we go any further, speaking of the head huntress, she will be on the show May 21st, 2 weeks from today. Mark that down on your calendar, kids. She will be on to discuss this year's theme of the Halloween. I'm sorry, excuse me for a second. We are interrupted by my cat, Penny. She's come to the studio to get some attention, but yeah. Yes, I have another cat too named Sheldon.
And my dog looks at me like, what the fuck are you talking about? Where is it?
What's that?
I said, I said kitty, kitty, and my dog almost killed me.
Uh-oh. But anyway, speaking of
kitty,
which...
Oh, she stepped on my boot.
And yet another moment, another historical moment is taking place on Dollar Bend Horror Radio. Her dog has stepped on one of Rhonda's boobs. Oh, my God.
Well, we do. If we ever do like a best of compilation, I gotta splice that in somehow with my lightsaber went off or something.
Wow. That hurt.
But anyway, speaking of Miss Elizabeth, Catherine Gray, she is the Lord and Mistress, the creator of the Halloween Horror Movie Marathon Madness, and she will be on May 21st to discuss what this year's theme is going to be, and it's going to be a lot darker than last year. So, looking forward to that.
I'm just
going to
go on record. Last theme was my favorite.
Let's sell the science. Oh yes, dolls and automatons. Oh, that was. Oh,
you
my
just
God.
Gave me an excuse to watch nothing but doll movies for a month.
Yes. Yes, and I pretty much watched nothing but sci-fi stuff because it was a lot. Because it was a lot.
And
MST3K
was bonus points. So it was like, hey.
Oh yes, and I hope she keeps that this year because I've got, because now I have Roku, the streaming stick, and one of the apps I downloaded, yes, oh my God, I love that thing. One of the apps I downloaded was the Shout Factory TV, and there is 30 episodes of MST3K at my disposal anytime I want to watch. Ah, yes, I love that. I love that thing. But anyway, So May 21st, look for Mrs. Elizabeth Catherine Gray to be joining us to discuss this year's madness, and I'm sure we'll be talking a little bit about her new podcast for sure. All right, if you guys want to get in on this conversation tonight, the number to call is 1-877-552-4073. For our international callers, the number is 323-843-6113. So, Rhonda, we were talking about Cinema Wasteland earlier in the show, and... You know what? It is one of thousands, if not hundreds, of conventions across the United States that's doing major business. You know. I mean, now, granted, it's a smaller scale than say the Days of the Dead in Indianapolis and Atlanta, or Horror Hound in Cincinnati, Ohio. You know, or even of course the big. Yeah, of course, the
one that I think it just happened, Texas. I think it was Frightmare. I might have the name wrong. The one that just happened in Texas.
Oh,
I think it was Frightmare or something like. Let me tell
you
something.
I'm
so mad that I was not in Texas that weekend. Brad Dourif was there.
Oh hell! Let's see. There's a Steel City Con in Pittsburgh, which. They always have, here's my biggest complaint with that, I've never been to there because they always have it the weekend of or the weekend after Cinema Wasteland. They never, it's never on a separate date where I could actually sit down, I could actually get out and go out to Monroeville. Oh, no, it's always around the same time as Wasteland, but I digress. You know, speaking of the big business of horror conventions, these things are doing... thousands upon thousands of dollars, you know, in any given weekend, and there are some wonderful points, you know, to the business of horror conventions. You get to meet stars of some of your favorite movies. Of course, we see it at Cinema Wasteland all the time with Tom Savini. We saw it, we got to see him and talk to him briefly at the Cinema Wasteland back in April, got his autograph, and it was also, they also had the 30th anniversary of Day of the Dead, and they had this awesome QA panel, you know, with almost all the cast members. And yes, folks, Bub was there. Howard Sherman was there. Yeah, it's funny because he was telling us about he caught Day of the Dead in New York at Times Square. This is back when it was like all seedy and. You know, decrepit and everything. So I would love it. I'm going to have been a fly on that greasy wall for sure to see what he watched back then. You know, but there's also something we do need to talk about here in the interest of fairness is some of the things that take place at these kind of conventions. And I'm talking about what happened at the Horror Hound convention in Cincinnati back in March, I believe. It was a couple weeks before Wasteland. There was a minor character. I will not mention this person's name.
I know where this is going.
Yeah, there was there was someone who played a minor character on The Walking Dead who was charging $10 just to walk up to her, and say hi to them. Not for an autograph or anything, or have anything.
Or a meet and greet. It said on the sign $10 meet and greet, and then the autograph was like fucking what, $60 or $80, and then just to get a picture with her was an extra $50 or $30, something like that.
Yeah. What's up with this? Who would go up just to pay $10 just for the privilege of going up and to saying hi to them?
Fucking minor character. Hold on. We're not even talking about, like, a main fucking character in The Walking
Dead.
Not
Daryl, not Rick, or...
We're talking about, like, a fucking background zombie here or something.
Mm-hmm. No, but this person wasn't a background zombie. They were a human, it was a small role at best.
No. I don't care who you are. I'm not paying $10 to say hi.
Yeah. But the thing is, Rhonda, people are paying $10 to go up and say hi to them.
And these
people
are what I like to call gullible.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Why would you do? I understand that, that these actors and actresses are not working all the time. I understand they have to maximize their dollars, for as long as they're in the spotlight. But where's the common sense? When does it stop? Does it stop when we all get together and say, no, we're not paying $10 just to go up and say hi to them, And some of the other people they had the Horror Hound convention, they were charging buku dollars just to go up, have their autograph, the pictures taken, their autographs and stuff like that. And they wouldn't even, and from what I've read, some wouldn't even talk to you. That was pretty much sign and go, herding cattle,
Yeah, see, there's only a few people who I would actually be willing to pay that much for, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But from what I've seen of these people, like, we'll say, for instance, we all know I'm a Supernatural freak. They actually have whole conventions just for Supernatural fans. And yes, it costs a good penny to go up and meet and greet and everything. But I've actually had friends who went to these conventions, unfortunately, not in my state, of course. Always somewhere far away, and I don't drive. But the people I know who've actually gone, got pictures with them. I mean, they don't just, like, yes, it's a quick take the photo because there's, like, a line of 20,000 people behind you. But most of the time when you do this, like, for instance, at the Comic-Con, William Shatner was doing pictures, you put your arm around his shoulder, take the picture, and go. Actually, look through a photo album of the Supernatural fan convention pictures, and it's hilarious. You got, like, people holding each other like babies, the Winchesters kissing people. Like, it's fucking experience. Oh, they go crazy. They, like, will dry hump you, in a way. Like, it's nuts. But for someone to just be like, I need $10 just to say hi to me. No, I'm not cool with that. I'm not cool. If I'm paying that much money, I want a memory out of it. I want, like, an experience with someone who I've looked up to, who I'm a huge fan of, whose work has impacted me in some way, shape, or form, and I want an actual memory out of it. I want my money's worth. I can't get my money's worth if you're charging me just $10 to say hi, and I'm not even getting anything out of it. There's no photos. No, that's not cool.
And I agree with that. But see, the thing is, you and I know this. We've been... horror fans, almost all of our natural lives. This is just my opinion. I could be wrong on this one. You have these people who watch like maybe a few episodes of The Walking Dead or another TV show, but they don't want who don't watch anything else, and they're the ones coming to these horror conventions and, the Horror Hound Convention, Days of the Dead, and you know, the Texas Frightmares and things like that. They're happy shelling this stuff out because I don't want to say they know any better, but come on. But I mean, they know. I mean, it's the managers and the promoters, you know, just trying to milk it for what it's worth. And unless it stops, it's going to keep happening.
Mm-hmm. And I don't understand.
You know?
I mean, I understand if you're not working that much, you got to maximize it. But don't you think you'd sell a lot more autographs if you didn't charge a fucking buku amount?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like it's something that's, it takes 3 hours to do and it's all handmade and crafted. No, you're putting your name on a photograph that took 10 seconds to print out of a computer. You can sell it for a little bit less. It's not like it's going to kill you. It doesn't make sense to me that you charge $80 for an autograph and then an extra $80 for a photograph. I don't understand. And this is actual prices for meeting William Shatner at the Cleveland Comic Con that happened a few months ago that I didn't go to. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Those are actual prices. $80 for a photo plus an extra $80 for an autograph. What?
Yeah. You would probably pay more, motherfucker.
No.
Well, for me, you know how you mentioned for Supernatural, how you would. You know, you would definitely pay, you know, a little extra for your Supernatural autographs. There's only one person I would pay extra for, and that's Robert Englund.
I didn't say I'd pay extra. I said people pay extra. There's only one person I'd pay extra for.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Dourif. Please,
of course.
Love of God, come to Cleveland. Just one.
Yes, but that's the thing, as I mentioned earlier. I mean, Cinema Wasteland is kind of, when you compare it to the other conventions out there, it is kind of a small scale, but yet you could get Tom Savini in there. You could get, if you listen to the show for any length of time, you know my feelings about Carolyn Monroe and my,
you know what, Charles Band was there, and Lloyd Kaufman. It's not like they don't get complete nobodies.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
I didn't even know this, but years before I actually got to start going to Wasteland, they had a full Devil's Rejects reunion. I mean, Rob Zombie wasn't there or anything, but Sid Haig was there and Ken Forey. I didn't know this. It was like in 2006. Shit, I was still in high school.
And Ken Forey's coming back the new. Ken Forey, Devil's Rejects, original Dawn of the Dead. I'm looking forward to him. I apologize if it sounds like I'm waving the flag for Cinema Wasteland, but I'm going to because I love the business model behind it. I mean, most of the stars that are there, they don't charge any more than $20 for an autograph and a picture, and a lot of them will engage you. Rhonda, remember.
I think the most I've paid for an autograph there was actually Michael Berryman, but that's because I bought the autograph and I got a photo with me and Chris, so I got like kind of two photos in one there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but it's still 35. I didn't pay any more than 35. Tom Savini,
I think he paid me 30.
Yeah, but the best deals I ever got there were some of the biggest names.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Band, because I signed up for 3 months of his streaming, I got $40 worth of shit and an autograph for $18.
And then
Lloyd Kaufman, I got a bag, an autograph poster, and a photo for $10.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me Chris because apparently Chris pushed me into him while I was toasted.
Yeah, you were, he even breathed on
Chris.
You too. That, yeah.
Yeah, shut up.
And he breathed on you too.
That's funny. Oh, you said you would. Okay, if Brad Dourif ever came to Cleveland, you have a freaking story.
I'll be waiting.
I had a dream a couple of nights ago that I didn't tell you about because I thought you'd laugh at me.
I don't have that kind of music for that, but.
I dreamed that I met Brad Dourif and literally started crying, and you had to console me.
That's funny
because it would totally happen and I'd die, but okay, we're good. Moving on.
Oh, my God.
Shut up, Eric. Come on. Eric asked Eric told Carolyn Monroe that her American accent was awesome.
It was awesome. It's Slaughter High.
That's the best compliment he could come up with when he met her. Because
well,
he hasn't drawn off the floor long enough.
Well, yeah, you have to remember, I was like, I have interviewed professional, I talked to professional wrestlers, I have talked to, you know, we've interviewed people here on Daughter Ben Horror Radio. I spoke to one of my radio idols, Wade Braxton, at the first Cinema Wasteland I attended, when he came on here to plug his movie.
But
plug,
one pretty woman, and he loses his shit.
I've never fanboyed. I'm entitled to one fanboy moment.
And what's great about Wasteland, though, is you can fanboy. It is totally okay, and they don't think you're crazy, which is amazing.
Because
like the Living Dead Dog guys still talk to me. I don't know why, but they do.
Mm-hmm. And we've made, we made a bunch of new friends. You know, court director Corey Edler.
Speaking of friends, Joe Colado, one of the stars of Day of the Dead. We were just walking around, and randomly, because we had a special sippy cup. We'll just say that it was a special sippy cup.
Yeah. Well,
and we kind of just asked, "Do you want a shot?" I didn't expect him to say yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was surprised.
Uncle. He's like, "Sure. What you drinking?" What other kind of convention can you think of that autographs are affordable? Admission is very affordable. If you get your 3-day pass for October before June 19th, 3-day passes are only $35.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mentioned the Steel City Con, okay, and it's, you know, and their 3-day passes are a little more expensive. They have bigger names, but the bigger
convention can you do that where it's completely affordable autographs, the admission is dirt cheap, and you can actually have memories like these. Like I remember the one year we were drinking coffee, trying to get over what we did the night before. Not like that. It came out wrong. Anyone shush. But we were sitting down drinking coffee, and who gets a cup of coffee beside me? And we start chatting and having a small conversation.
Yep.
The girl from Night of the Living Dead.
Yep, Sarah Sean.
That is who we had coffee with in the morning. What other convention can you say that you took a shot with Joe Pilato and had coffee with Karen?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I had a nice conversation with Lori Cardell from Day of the Dead. If you do not know who Lori Cardell is, you're not from Pittsburgh, or you've never seen Day of the Dead. But Lori Cardell is the daughter of Pittsburgh legendary local TV horror host, the legendary Billy Cardell, who also had a minor role in the original Night of the Living Dead and the remake that came out in 1990. And we had a nice conversation. We had a real nice conversation about, the times I would watch Chiller Theater with my dad, and he was like, my dad was awesome. You know, she had she had nothing but affection. Obviously, she has nothing but affection and love for her dad. I mean,
oh yeah,
you know. But the thing is, like, I mean, there's a lot of people who don't. But obviously, she knows him more than we ever will. So, but yeah,
and I didn't tell you about this, but after the you were there Saturday and we came back Sunday.
Yeah.
When the show was actually closing down, we were standing outside. I was waiting for my ride, and this lady with these awesome tattoos came out, and we started chatting for a while, you know? She was talking about, it was about a 20-minute chat, and she said she got to go take her table down. I said, you were one of the vendors? You know who we were chatting with?
Who you were chatting with?
Adult film star, Long Jean Silver.
Oh, wow.
Didn't even know it. And she became famous because she has an amputated leg, and it's kind of shaped like a, you know.
Yeah, you don't have some film,
you know, with that leg. And she is literally the nicest person ever and has the most badass tattoos. And I really hope she comes back to Wasteland because she is just so nice. And I didn't even know that was one of the vendors. Like, we were just chatting outside for, like, 25, 30 minutes until my dad came. And she was literally the coolest person ever.
That's awesome.
You can't say that's going to happen at fucking, like, Horror Hound or anything.
No, unless somebody calls in to give us a different impression, we'd love to hear from you. It's 1-877-552-4073. We pretty much covers what we take away from the horror conventions. We'll be back in Cinema Wasteland in October for sure. All right, so moving on. So I watched that It Follows during our winter break, and so
I still have to see this movie.
Yes, you do have to see this movie just to see what all the hype is about. Someone in a review they did, they called it the scariest movie in a decade. Which, when you make that kind of prediction, when you make that bold proclamation, I'm willing to hold your movie to a higher standard. You know, you're telling me since 2000, it is the scariest horror movie since 2005, when you consider other movies that came out in that decade. You're going to have the chutzpah in the 10 years, I mean, not the entire decade, but you're going to have the chutzpah to tell us this. So I watched it. I caught, like, the very first showing on the Saturday it came out, you know, in the theater about 45 minutes north of me, and there was about 20 people, and the crowd was just mixed. I mean, you had people like me, you had younger people, you had well-dressed senior citizens watching this movie. Yeah, because the buzz from TV and the internet was so strong, and the trailer was very well made, and it hooked its claws into me. But overall, It Follows, though it's really good, it's not as good as people have made it out to be. Because, I mean, you have... My biggest problems were some of the scenes were just so drug out, you know, and some of the acting was, like, you know, on par with community theater. You know, if you're going to... And now, don't get me wrong, the movie is good. There are plenty of scary scenes to this. And the music is fantastic. It kind of reminded me of a John Carpenter or Goblin score. I was watching this and hearing the music, I'm like, this is awesome, the music part of it anyway. Some of the movie left itself open for a sequel. I'm hoping there's not a sequel because I'm afraid it will ruin the experience. But it had a great opening. It did business, and maybe it's as I mentioned in the monologue earlier, maybe it's opened the door for more independent films to come down the pike. You know, maybe we're seeing the last of the remakes. Speaking of which, have you seen the trailer for Poltergeist, Rhonda? Or the remake of Poltergeist?
I have.
Uh-huh.
And I'm disappointed in myself because I don't like remakes, but that fucking trailer looks good.
You know what? This is stuff regurgitated from the 1982 movie. You know, why would I want to go?
Yeah, definitely look regurgitated, but then when that clown came, fucking clown guy.
Yeah. No, the clown didn't get me.
You know how I am with my dolls. That clown
guy.
Yes,
I know. Yes, tell our new listeners about your doll collection.
But then again, I am a cheap, huh?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I'm a cheap horror fan. And if it's not mm-hmm. something literally that I'm like, oh my God, I must see this, I'm gonna wait for DVD.
Yeah. I mean,
it looked good. Don't get me wrong. I thought it looked pretty damn good. But mm-hmm. not like jump out of my seat. I gotta run, get it. Good. You know?
Yeah, I'm not gonna
disappointed though, because I usually hate remakes, and I'm like, oh, that one actually looks pretty good. I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah, I was like, I have a bad feeling, you know, my gut was telling me I have a bad feeling about this movie. It's basically going to be regurgitating what you saw from 1982.
You know what, although I saw some news about another remake that I am actually a little conflicted.
Okay.
They just announced who was going to be Pennywise in the upcoming I don't want to say remake, because I guess they're going to go more toward the book instead of, you know,
mm-hmm.
making it so television safe. I cannot remember the fucking guy's name for the life of me. But the actor who they chose, for some reason, he looks so innocent and so, like, he's done, like, I've seen him in child movies before. For some reason, I just have this weird gut feeling. I don't ask me why. I just have a gut feeling that he might actually pull it off.
Yeah,
I really don't. Please don't yell at me, people, because everyone's like, look, I was one of them. I'm like, Tim Curry's the only motherfucker who can do this, and I still think Tim Curry's going to be the best. But for some reason, for some ungodly gut-feeling reason, I look at the guy, and I'm like, he could be a creepy-ass clown.
Well, I'm here to answer your question regarding who the new Pennywise is. I'm on bladediscussing.com, and I'm looking at first thing is they show a picture of Tim Curry in his Pennywise outfit.
Mm-hmm.
It is William Poulter from from the boring ass movie Maze Runner.
Yes, but just look at him. I don't know why. Just looking at him, I think he kind of looks creepy as it is.
Yeah, he was.
Oh my God, that made me sound like an asshole.
There's a picture of him with his eyebrows are freaking creepy. There's a picture of him from the movie The Maze Runner.
He looks like he could be a fucked up clown.
No, if he does that throughout the movie, I might be convinced. I'd be convinced.
I look at him and I really hope, because I'm gonna watch it. A lot of people are like, no, it's Pennywise, he's a classic. Look, that TV movie was, it's very different from the book, okay? I mean, it's just a basic story, but I would like to see a movie where they keep most of the damn book in. So, I'm looking forward to seeing the new Pennywise, but I don't know why, I just have a gut feeling that I'm going to like him.
I have a feeling that this movie will be a two-parter movie. Because the book itself is like 1,200 pages.
The book is 1,090 pages. I know, because I read that bitch in 4 days.
You know, and it's like with we're going off on a tangent here. Like there have been talks for Stephen King's The Dark Tower series, the eighth. You know,
man,
and I'm thinking to myself,
on, then it's been off, then it's been on, then it's been off.
Yeah.
Can you get there already?
And here's why. How are you going to distill eight novels into? You know, into like 3 or 4 movies. How are you? What's going to go? You know.
I don't want 3 or 4 movies. I want 8 movies. Damn it.
But I don't know. I mean,
they gave Harry Potter fucking. Come on now.
Yeah, but but Harry Potter has a larger following than the Dark Tower does, so they could get away with 8 movies.
But we could create a following. Stephen King fans are crazy. We will create a following.
Yeah, I mean, it has a cult following, you know, but just, it's not, you know, it hasn't really pushed, you know, the mainstream status, like, you know, the Hobbit movies or Lord of the Rings or, you know, whatever, just to name a couple, but we've gone off on it. This is one of our panted tangents, because I was talking about It Follows, and then all of a sudden
Now we're talking about Dark Tower.
But that's the thing though.
That's
here we don't.
How this show works.
Yeah, we don't follow a rigid format here. I mean, yeah, we have topics we talk about, but we can just go off on a tangent just like that, you know, for you know, unless we have guests or something, you know. All right, if you guys want to get in on the conversation tonight about anything we've talked about, horror conventions, what do you think of It Follows, anything, the number to call is 1-877-552-4073. International callers, 323-843-6113. Okay, so in the time we have left, I want to really briefly talk about what we've got coming up for the rest of Season 5. You know, as I mentioned, May 21st, the head hauntress of the wonderful contest known as the Halloween Horror Movie Marathon Madness, Mrs. Elizabeth Catherine Gray will be joining us, and she's also, as I mentioned earlier, she also hosts the brand new podcast, Archivist's Bed on Sexy Witches. If you've seen Cabin in the Woods, you will understand the reference. At least I hope you understand the reference. You know. And then this season we're kind of going to go off a little bit, you know, a little bit of a divergent path here, because Rhonda and I, for her birthday, and my wife Jolene, the three of us, we're going to go see Weird Al Yankovic up in Cleveland May 30th. So on May 28th, Dollar Bin Horror Radio will become Weird Al Radio. Just for that one night, we're going to be playing a lot of his new classic music. I definitely want to play Word Crimes, because as we like to write in our spare time, I love that song. That's probably the best of his newer songs. And we'll definitely be talking about what we look forward to for the concert on May 30th, just everything. So keep that in mind. May 28th, Dollar Bin Horror Radio becomes Weird Al Radio. So who knows? Yeah, who knows what could happen? And
I have a feeling that's going to be the best birthday weekend ever.
Well, you're not working, so that's definitely the best weekend
ever. That's definitely a good birthday weekend.
And December the 10th, speaking of non-horror related, mark this down on your calendar, December the 10th. How can I put this? I feel so awesome in my stomach right now. December the 10th. We're talking Star Wars, Episode 7, the week before it comes out. We're going to be talking about that. Have you seen the new trailer for Episode 7, Rhonda?
Yes.
You have? Okay.
Of course I have. I'm dying here.
I freaking fanned out when I saw the very last clip scene when Han tells Chewie, we're home. That, I lost my shit. I was 9 years old again.
I'm pretty sure every single Star Wars fan in the world lost their shit. Okay, that's just what happened.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you saw me post on my Facebook page. Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! You know, mm-hmm. I freaking flipped out. I lost my freaking lid. It was worse. Picture what happened with Carol Monroe times 20. You know? Oh my god! That was like. I mean, I've never done an illicit drug in my life, but I can't imagine being any more higher than what I felt that day. So mark that down. May the 10th, it will be our very special Star Wars episode, and we can get away with it because we did a Hobbit episode a couple years ago. So
mm-hmm.
There, and we're joined in the studio by my other cat, Sheldon. He just dumped here on my table and. Wanted me to pet him, so,
aww.
You know, yeah, you never know what can happen on Dollar Bin Horror Radio. That is for darn sure. Let's see, what else can we talk about? July 2nd, that will be the last episode before we go on our summer hiatus, because we only do like 9 episodes between now and then. That will be so I'm not telling this live, July 2nd. That will be our Rock and Roll Horror Radio Show. We do that every year.
Speaking of that, I have a song. I have such a fucking song that the world has to hear.
What's that?
Okay. Just so you know, everyone needs to go check out Tom Collins' Terror Time.
Mm-hmm.
That's so much fucking cool shit. But anyway, I'll talk more about it next show because we're almost out of time this time around. But I got the limited edition of Child's Play, the re-release of the Child's Play score, and there was an unreleased song You know how the songs in the 80s had the fucking cheesy-ass songs with the cheesy-ass fucking lyrics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cosplay
absolutely.
Cosplay had one that was never released.
Nice.
No, you guys don't understand how fucking cheesy this song is. I laugh my ass off. We are going
well,
to
yeah, send me the MP3 and I'll play it next
oh,
week.
We have to play it because, holy shit, I didn't even know this
yep.
song existed. And I thought I knew every fucking thing about Child's Play. Did not know this song existed.
So you became friends with Tom Holland on Facebook, haven't you?
Yes. Everyone needs to check, I'll talk more about it next week, but everyone needs to check out Tom Holland's Terror Time. I think it's thterrortime.com. He's selling
mm-hmm.
the coolest stuff from Tom Holland movies, okay? You can get Child's Play signed by Tom Holland, Alex Bisson, and Chris Sarandon. You can get DVDs from Fright Night signed by the whole fucking cast of Fright Night. Plus, you can get autographed copies of Psycho 2, scripts from all of these movies, posters. Seriously, it's like a horror movie convention on your fucking computer. It is amazing, and I'm pretty sure I own almost everything he has Child's Play related. I went crazy.
That explains why you're friends with him.
He made a joke the other day. He's like, I think you're going to buy out my whole store. I'm like, that's the plan.
Oh my goodness.
We all know I'm addicted to Chucky, and well, he's like a crack dealer. I swear to God.
Yeah, he's your pimp. He's your supply. He's your pusher fan.
I'm done with my life. You did not just say Tom Holland was my pimp. I'm done with you.
I'm sorry. That was wrong. He's your pusher man.
I apologize to Tom Holland. Eric, no.
Matter of fact, that's going to be your... Well, you mentioned Tom Holland next time. I'm going to play that song by...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to play that song Pusher Man next time you mention Tom Holland.
Oh, my God. I'm dead. No. I hope he never hears this.
Oh. I don't know. I mean, there's people out there that hear this show, and it can get back to the right people for
yeah,
sure.
I didn't say anything. I just said the guy was awesome. You're crazy.
Yes.
But seriously, though, check out his site if you are a fan of any Tom Holland film, especially Fright Night, because while he has a shit ton of Child's Play stuff, his Fright Night autographs, he literally the entire cast autographs the photos and DVDs. Sure,
your pants. Oh yes, definitely check that out. All right, before we go, one more plug, one more time for Miss Elizabeth Catherine Gray's Archivist Bell and Sexy Witches podcast. You can hear that every other Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. That's live. She'll be doing one this coming Tuesday about the Marvel Comics universe. So definitely check that out. And we'll be back next week live at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. This is the place where you go where we talk about the culture of horror each every week. So we hope that you tune in, and we will see you next week. So for now, on behalf of all of Reaply Nation, this is Eric Polk saying to each and every one of you out there, have a great week, and good night now.
Okay, I'm going to leave crying.
Don't you cry no more.